Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the most exciting show on internet radio, the best podcast for paranormal, the one and only Scarycast. This is Dr. John Stamey. I'm coming to you live from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, where it's cold, but we're warm in here, and we've got an exciting, a super exciting show. I want to first introduce my co-hosts, my longest-running co-hosts, one of the best friends that I've got in the internet world, the one and only Devin Tate. How are you tonight, Devin?
Hey, Dr. John. I'm doing great. I was feeling a little cold here. I thought it was awfully chilly, so I looked up to see what the temperature was, but you're probably not going to have sympathy for me when I tell you it's 58 degrees here.
No, it's about 40 here, and it's just awful. I didn't sign up for this, but I guess I did since I live in Myrtle Beach, but I'm just glad to have you here. You're my longest-running co-host, and you're such a great friend. Glad to have you here on this very special night. We got an incredible show. And our newest, I've got our oldest co-host, and I've got our newest co-host. He's a really good friend. He's been a friend of mine for about three and a half years, I think. None other than the boy from Niagara Falls, Canada, the one and only Mark Johnson. How are you doing tonight, Mark?
Hey, John. I'm doing great. Hey, Devin. Really excited for today's show. You know, you always have such great guests on, but I was just telling you earlier today, barely do you have a chance to talk and tell stories. So I'm excited to hear about your story. You told me a little bit about it earlier. It's really interesting. So I think it's going to be great.
It's really a cool story. And all, you know what's funny? I think four of my best friends in the world are my co-hosts for Scarycast. You kind of have to be one of my best friends to be a co-host. So that's what I think of Trey, Robin, Devin, and Mark. Y'all are some of the nicest people that I know, and I'm so glad to have you here because you're all really smart. And you've all got great experience, and I think we have a wonderful balance. And just such a cool podcast. All right. I was talking to Mark. Let me make sure I can still watch the board. So I watch the board to make sure that the show's running while we're doing this. So whenever I meet someone socially, the first thing that I tell them, I'm the most politically incorrect person in the world. Are you ready for what I say?
I'm ready.
I'm ready. The first thing I say is, hey, I'm Dr. John Stamey. I always put the doctor because I just love using it. I work so hard to get it. I say, I'm Dr. John Stamey, and my reason for living is that I run a show called Scarycast. It's the best paranormal show on the internet. It's a podcast. Please listen to it on tigerradio.com at midnight on Saturday night. We are the overnight people, or you can listen to it live Monday nights at 9 p.m. And then I tell them real quickly about my four co-hosts, and I'm going to say, I like that more than anything that I do. I hate to tell you, I don't really make any money at it. But the immense pleasure, and this is what I tell you, the immense pleasure that I get from running Scarycast is the coolest thing that I have ever done, and I wouldn't trade it. I wouldn't trade my co-hosts, and I wouldn't trade the experience of everything that I have learned from Scarycast. And that's what I tell people. Well, I was up at the Brunswick County Chamber of Commerce, and there was some dude named Alan. He was a new representative from, I think, Brunswick County Community College. Brunswick County Hospital. He's a medical guy. I think he runs some division there. And he was there. And so I gave him the long and short of Scarycast because I don't really care what those people think. I don't care if they know I like the paranormal because I love it. He said, oh, wow, I'm from Tabor City. We had a big deal down there about 25 or 30 years ago, I think, and it was called the Sydney Monster. I said, what? Wow. I'm guessing it was either a cryptid or it was some space aliens. He said it was aliens, supposedly space aliens. It should be all in the newspaper. Well, what he didn't know is I have a very good friend named Jen Causey. She's the senior staff writer up there at the Tabor City Tribune, which is now called the Tabor Loris Tribune. And I want to thank the general manager and editor. His name is Deuce Niven. It's pretty much a two-person operation. Deuce was super nice. I pulled up there at 102 Avon Road. I'm going to tell you all the whole story. So I pull up there at 102 Avon Road at about 2 o'clock, and there was a sign up there that said, no admittance. And I said, well, that may be for other people. That's not me. So I called up the number, and some lady answered and transferred me to the general manager and editor named Deuce, which means two in some language or something like that. So anyway, he said, I said, you know, I'm John Stamey. I sell life insurance, but I'm also an author. I write paranormal books. Because, by the way, everybody, I just turned over the Lizard Man Companion. It is finished, finally. I turned it over to my editor and formatter, which is none other than the wonderful author, John LeMay, who is going to help me with that. He volunteered. He's going to do it, I guess, starting tonight. He's one of the finest people that I know. He's been so helpful. So anyway, John is going to do that. It's an honor to have him. I'm going to get him in my book to thank him for that. So anyway, it's great to have some expert help from a guy that makes a full-time living at being a paranormal author. So anyway, we can expect the Lizard Man Companion out in 2 to 3 to 4 weeks, just depending on how long it takes him to go through it and all that stuff. However, so I called up Deuce, and Deuce said, I told him I was a paranormal author, and I wanted to find out about the Sydney Monster. He said, all right, hold on. About a minute later, he came back on the phone. He said, I want you to write the following date down. I said, yes, sir. So I scrambled to find a pen and a piece of paper. It was September 26th, 1973. We are 23 years away from the 25th anniversary of the Sydney Monsters. So I go in there. He is super busy because they have a deadline of this afternoon at 5 o'clock because they publish on Wednesdays. It's a weekly newspaper. And by the way, the Tabor Loris Tribune was the first local newspaper of any kind to win a Pulitzer Prize. It is one of the most respected newspapers of small-town newspapers in the entire country. And they've got a book about their history. I'm going to buy it. He's going to see if he can give me a copy to give to me. Otherwise, I'll pay $20 for that book. It's an unbelievable accomplishment. And I'll tell you what, they really take their newspaper seriously, and I love it. They are just excited about the Tabor Loris Tribune. Because I work up in Loris, and I just love these people. Every once in a while, I meet some of the coolest people in the world. So anyway, here's what I wanted to do. I got home. I didn't get home till 7 o'clock because I always have to go to the grocery store and try to get a couple things. I forgot what I had to get some ginger ale because I was out of soft drinks. I had to have my diet drinks. I don't care. It's probably going to kill my pancreas, but that's okay. Anyway. So I got home at 7 o'clock, and I had exactly 90 minutes to take these photographs that I had taken of the articles, because these 1973 articles are not digitized. So I got in here, and I ran through that article, and I went through Word and spell check, and I got it as well proofed as I could for my panelists to take a look at tonight. So in a couple of sentences, Devin Tate, what did you think about the article? And then I'm going to ask Mark, and then I'm going to read everybody the article. I want everyone to hear this because this is some spectacular stuff, and there's some very interesting parallels to the Lizard Man of Lee County. And I've just finished that book, so I'm all up on Lizard Man of Lee County. I can tell you the parallels, and it's really interesting. But all right, Devin, just in a nutshell, what'd you think about the story? Was it believable, unbelievable? Did you like it? What'd you think about it?
Yeah, no, I liked it. It's very interesting, and I think one of the notable things is just how descriptive it is, you know, of these, quote, monsters that they saw. And I liked how they mentioned that, you know, their description of the space creatures rivaled, you know, what Hollywood could even come up with, you know, Hollywood science fiction writers could come up with. So it's definitely got so much detail in it, which is, you know, one of the things that makes it more believable, because Sometimes when news articles are really vague, that's when it's like, well, kind of a suspect, but this has so many details in it.
Well, you know, it really did. I'll tell you something. From a Pulitzer, I took a quick look at some of the front page stories, and they read like something from a Pulitzer Prize winning newspaper. They really do. These folks are so proud of that newspaper, and they've got every reason to be proud of them. All right, well, Mark Johnston, what did you think in a nutshell from the article?
Yeah, it's really interesting. I haven't heard any description of any monsters like this before. It does seem like science fiction. The one thing that struck me is the fact that they were able to jump 30 to 60 feet up in the air, and that they, in the kind of what they were wearing, they were describing it's like a large metal medallion on their chest, what they use to communicate, and then what they touch with their arm, they disappear into thin air, which makes it seem like it would be something extraterrestrial technology if that was the case, that, you know, they kind of had something that made them ability to teleport back to their ship or disappear or something along those lines.
Okay. I like what you just said. You made some observations. Like I'm gonna read the story, but I'm gonna make a quick observation, and I'm gonna tell you something that I like or don't like. I don't know if I'm gonna. This will be about like my fourth time through it. I might like everything. I might have a couple of questions, and I'm also gonna discuss how I intend to research this article. This is a land. I don't care if this is real or fake. This is a landmark. I believe it's real. In my heart, I believe you had some kind of overzealous people that really wanted the publicity, but I believe that this article is real. I believe something happened, and I'll tell you why as I read the story. So, Devin and Mark, are y'all ready for me to get going on this?
Yes,
I'm ready.
Okay. All right, here we go. The Sydney Monster has created quite a stir in Columbus County for the past 6 days. A family living in a mobile home almost 4 miles north of Tabor City on Highway 701, just north of the intersection of Peacock Road, claimed to have seen two space creatures roaming the woods near their home since last Thursday night. Now, just so that everyone knows, this story was printed on Wednesday, September the 26th. So that would have been 25, 24, 20. This would have been on the 21st that the family saw, well, we guessed on the 21st, the family started seeing this on Thursday night. Okay, now back to the story. Claiming they have seen monsters were Lindsay Williamson, his wife, whose name is Rose, and two daughters, Rose G. Williamson and Kathy Haggerty. Charlie Norris of Route 2 Tabor City and a radio disc jockey, and that would be at WTAB AM. And Ken Williamson, no relation to the Williamson family, also claimed to have seen the monsters. Now, I'll say that I'm going to try to find every one of them. And what's nice is my new buddy Alan, who's going to become – I'm going to get him on this show. Because he's going to tell us, because his mother was really, really knew a lot about this, and she passed away about 20 years ago, but he does remember a lot. And I'm going to try to get him on the show in about 3 or 4 weeks, because I'd like to have Trey and Robin, I'd like for Robin to remote view this thing, see what she thinks. So I'm going to exhaust all the possibilities I can, and I guess everybody needs to know. There's obviously another book. It's called Legends of North and South Carolina. I've got some really great paranormal stories. I've got 9, and now with this, I've got 10. I need 2 more. I want 10. I mean, I want 12 10-page stories of really cool stuff. I have found some cool stuff that wasn't hard to find, and nobody's written about any of these stories that I'm going to put in there. And that's what's going to make it so engaging, I believe. And so anyway, now, the wife, Rose Williams, who observed the monsters many times, says there are 2 of them and gives the following description of their appearance. They're about 7 or 8 feet tall with big red eyes that glow in the dark. Well, I'll swear, that sounds kind of like the lizard. That's kind of like the high-level description of the lizard man. Are you aware of that? That is exactly what the lizard man is described as, red eyes and 7 to 8 feet tall.
John, I remember it was about 5 episodes ago at least where there was the one guy who had the Bigfoot experience, and he said the exact same thing in his experience that of the red eyes that glow in the dark as well with Bigfoot. But this doesn't sound like Bigfoot. It was just an observation and something else that came to mind when I read that article as well.
Well, what you're saying is it seems like there are a lot of entities with red eyes that are 7 to 8 feet tall. Now, if Men in Black come knocking at my door, I'm going to open up to them on the phone and the world can hear it, whatever's going on. But anyway, okay, Rose Williams, she said they're 7 to 8 feet tall with big red eyes that glow in the dark. They're dressed in brown shirts with black pants that are ragged at the bottom. Their faces are gray and look like modeling clay. They have long hair, pointed ears, and wear a small brown cap on their heads. They have a sort of wicked smile. The monsters leave no tracks and are able to leap 30 to 40 feet in a single bound. Kind of like the rubber man in the circus, Rose G. Williamson added. She further described the practical appearance, the physical appearance of the monster, saying that it had walked with the limb and the hand of one arm missing. In other words, she said, it's like a stub. It's like he was born with no hand. Wow. The monsters have a large metal medallion on their chests with which they use to communicate, and then they strike it with their arm, and they disappear into thin air. Well, now, I don't know. That's pretty space alien-like, I think.
You would think if someone was going to make up a story about this, like if you're making up a story, the whole stub arm thing doesn't like it. That would be a detail someone would say if they were making it up. Like, that's just a weird thing to say. You know what I mean? Like,
well,
I don't know. That makes it more believable in my kind of. Yeah. Sorry.
In your world, well, I want to say something. She never knew that the lizard man. This was in 1973. This was before the lizard man showed up in Bishopville and Lee County in 1987, 88, and 89. She would have had no idea that large red eyes were kind of a hallmark of some cryptids. She would never have known that. She would never have known the 7 to 8 feet tall. She would never have known any of that. I mean, I believe this would have taken too good of an imagination. I just don't think she made this up. I don't. There's so many similarities with the lizard man. I don't think none of those folks in Lee County ever read this newspaper. I mean, basically this thing went on two stations in Wilmington, North Carolina, and in the Tabor City Tribune. And it might be in the Whiteville News, the Whiteville, North Carolina News. I'm going to go up there by the end of this week to check and see if they have any stories about it, because it is really, Peacock Road is very, very close to Whiteville. So I'm just going to see if they've got any articles. The editor Deuce of the newspaper said, well, they did. They do. And so I'm going to go up and find them. I'm going to take pictures of them, and I'm going to see if I can get permission to put both articles in the upcoming book, Legends of North and South Carolina. But I just think it's going to be very interesting to see, you know, when you see the parallels between a 1973 story, what we know from 1988, because I've got all the newspaper articles in 1987, 88 from the Camden Independent and the Lee County Observer. Thank you. Thank you, Martin Kahn, for giving me permission to do that. And thank you, Deuce Niven, for the permission to reprint this. It would almost be worth putting in the Lizard Man book, Lizard Man Companion, but I think this whole thing deserves another book. I think once you start getting into the paranormal, in fact, it's like last night I'm on one of my other very favorite podcasts, which is pro wrestling interviews. We had Vinnie Berry, who just wrote his second book on independent professional wrestling. And I love the stuff. But it's what's really interesting is I've kind of, even though I host that show, I've got the Amazing Velvet on the show. He's kind of like my anchor, and I'm just there to kind of add a little color. And what's interesting is that Vinnie Berry knows so much about independent professional wrestling, and it's a lot like the fact that I know a lot about the paranormal because I've studied it so much. And it was really interesting to see kind of my parallel in a field that I don't really do much anymore, but I still love wrestling, I mean, as much as anybody. So it's really interesting to see kind of my parallel in professional independent wrestling, who is a lot like me in the paranormal. And I like the more local stories. I guess that makes me more like the guy that does independent wrestling. I like the local stories, and I'm going to get them out. And I think people are going to love the Lizard Man Companion. I think they're going to really like Legends of North and South Carolina. I think it's going to be a great book. It might have to be Paranormal Legends of North and South Carolina. I might have to do that. But anyway, just getting back
to Dr. John.
Yes, sir.
I have a comment that kind of brings together the wrestling world and this story that you're telling about the aliens. Have you ever seen or do you remember the movie called They Live? It's from 1988.
Oh yeah,
that Roddy Piper film is absolute. That is my second favorite film of all time.
Well, and so remember in the film that the aliens had the little watch that they would kind of press and then they would disappear. So that reminds me exactly of the medallion that you're talking about in the story, that they touch the medallion and disappear. So. Maybe John Carpenter was inspired by that story. Maybe he'd heard it somehow.
And I'm going to make a note of that, sir. And I'm going to absolutely take a look at He Lives and put, because what I'd like to do, I've also got, believe it or not, a couple of ghost stories that revolve around wrestling. And I think you have just given me the perfect bridge. It's real funny. That's one reason I like to talk about this with people that I respect, like you and Mark and Trey and Robin, because I can get your ideas. And, I mean, this is how I write. I write based on getting great ideas from people. So I'm gonna check out They Live, and I'm going to see, because I think Maestro is the one that put me onto that, and Maestro's real spooked by that film. And in fact, that might be, and in fact, I'm sorry, I just said it twice, but in fact, we might want to bring Maestro on here to talk about the connection between wrestling and the paranormal. How's that sound?
That sounds great to me. You remember my friend Hank Garrett? We had him on the show before. He's an actor, but he was
the guy that spoke for 45 minutes, right?
Yes, yes. So he was a wrestler, too, back in the day. And he's actually going to be on Coast to Coast tonight. I know it airs at 10 p.m. our time here in L.A. I'm not sure when it's on for you, but he's going to be on with George Nuri tonight.
Well, I mean, does he know much about the paranormal? Is he much of a paranormal guy? I can't remember.
You know, I don't know. We'd have to ask him. That would actually be a really interesting, you know, because he has so many great stories, but I haven't ever got to talk to him about that yet.
What is his name again? I want to write this down.
Yeah, Hank Garrett, G-A-R-R-E-T-T. And he was known as the Minnesota Farm Boy when he was a wrestler, even though he's from New York. He's not a farm boy, not from Minnesota, but that was the persona that they kind of gave to him.
Okay, great. Well, I'm going to call Maestro, because I owe him a phone call because it was just his birthday, and I'm going to call him and I'm going to say, because you put me on to They Live, we want to explore the wrestling and the paranormal connection on a Scarycast episode. So would you guys like for me to get him on here for that? You want me to do it, Mark?
Yeah, that sounds like an interesting concept. I'd be interested for that, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, it is. And I've got a book actually kind of outlined of some ghost stories in wrestling. Devin, you want me to do it?
Yeah, totally.
Well, I'll tell you what, and do me a favor. This is your assignment. The doctor is giving you an assignment, okay?
Okay.
Please talk to Hank and find out if he's got any paranormal stories that bleed into wrestling, because I can tell you what, there are people like Vinnie Barry that would really champion a book like that. And I've always wanted to write one. Susan, believe it or not, the greatest female wrestler of all time is Susan Green, and she has got a couple of paranormal stories. She is a very good friend of mine. I had to put the writing of her biography on hold for about a year because of some health problems, but I'm getting back, and we're gonna finish that book, which is, you know, if you're writing the life story of the lady that's considered wrongly so the second greatest lady wrestler of all time, she's actually the greatest lady wrestler of all time because she is the only person that beat the Fabulous Moolah ever. And she tore her up in Dallas, made her submit, and Moolah had to give her the belt. So what I'm saying is, you know, I've got a couple of paranormal stories from Miss Susan. She's the best. I mean, you can, if you want to hear her, she's kind of a regular, she's a regular co-host on Pro Wrestling Interviews, 9 p.m. Sunday night. Just go to ProWrestlingInterviews.com and you can find her. But I think it'd be great to explore. Golly, I'm not even getting to the rest of the thing. You know what? This is what I personally, this is Dr. John's personal most fun show, because I get to talk to my friends that know a lot, and I'm gonna tell you something, Devin. That is a great thing for you to have brought up. They Live. That is perfect. That really speaks to the connection between wrestling and Roddy Piper, who I'm the biggest fan of.
Yeah, he's great.
He was absolutely unbelievable. And I'll say, Mark, on your behalf, two of the greatest wrestlers that ever got in the ring. They are two dudes from Canada, and they were absolutely the greatest. You know, it's interesting. The very, very greatest wrestlers that we had. They are in the top. Those two boys are in the top 10, and that's 20% of the top 10 in the world. And that includes Andre the Giant. That includes Haystacks Calhoun. That includes Hulk Hogan, Ric Flair. You got 20%, you own 20%, being a Canadian, of my greatest wrestlers of all time, and congratulations. Your country has produced some of the best in the world. Yes, sir, and Owen Hart.
And Owen Hart, yeah. Brothers, he's the one who passed away, though, right?
Yeah,
He's doing some stunt. Cool. He was doing, like, a stunt in a cage or something and passed away, right? Like,
He was supposedly being dropped down from the very, very top, and he accidentally cut loose. They had not tightened everything up properly, and he fell to his death. And it was
I remember that.
And I got to tell this quick story. When I was an announcer at the Professional Wrestling Federation in Charlotte, North Carolina, I was up in my hometown of Morganton, and I got a phone call at 6 a.m. in the morning from the Italian Stallion, who owned the promotion that I announced for. The man, as tough as he was crying, because Owen was one of his best friends. And he just said, "Oh, dear God, Owen, I just found out Owen Hart died. I've never heard the Italian Stallion say such wonderful and kind things about anybody." He was, you know, the toughest Italian dude. He loved Owen Hart, and apparently they were very close friends. And I was part of, you know, it became part of my life. I mean, because I was a big fan, but I didn't know that the Stallion was such a huge fan. Gary Sabaugh, the Italian Stallion, he's a good man. He taught me a lot about the, I tell you what, he taught me a lot about the wrestling business, and he was responsible for me meeting my childhood idol, which was Nelson Royal. Nelson Royal came in that dressing room when we were doing a show in Mooresville, North Carolina, and I didn't let him go for an hour and a half. And Nelson loved it because I knew all the stuff about him. He was the Texan dude. He was the world junior heavyweight champion for Jim Crockett. He was incredible. So, yeah, it was I'm sorry I'm digressing. Please forgive me. Well, Mark, you said you wanted to hear me talk.
Wrestling and paranormal, though, just what came to mind when you guys talking there, do you remember that wrestler, Macho Man Randy Savage, the Snap Into the Slim Jim guy?
Now listen.
Yeah.
First of all, you're talking about one of my childhood heroes. Go ahead, please. I love the Macho Man.
Yeah.
Devin, do you remember the Macho Man?
Oh yeah, of course.
There is nobody. Mark, I'm going to have to dwell on the Macho Man for just a minute. I don't think there's anybody in the wrestling world that really didn't like the Macho Man. And his name, and the Macho Man's brother, what's interesting is his brother was probably a better wrestler than he was. His brothers took the family name. His name was Lanny Poffo. And Lanny Poffo was probably considered, I mean, he was considered as good as Harley Race, who was probably considered the greatest wrestler of all time. Among people that really know wrestling, Harley Race was just the man. And, I mean, he was a better wrestler than Ric Flair, although Ric Flair was just the most gigantic superstar that wrestling has ever known. And so was Andre the Giant. But I think Lanny Poffo and maybe one of the old-time guys, but I think Lanny Poffo was considered one of the greatest wrestlers of all time. And that was Superstar Macho Man's brother. And he was just unbelievable. So I'm sorry. I had to get a little bit of wrestling in there because Devin, you started all this. You started me talking about my favorite thing in the world other than the paranormal. Thank you so much. And you know what? We are going to be talking after the show and for a long time to come about the connection, if you don't mind, because I am thrilled that you brought up He Lives. It lives. It's one of the greatest. It's one of the best. Was that really directed by John Carpenter?
Yeah, it was.
Oh dear God, I did not know that. That's one of those factoids that escaped me. John Carpenter. What an incredible director. The man's career was made the minute that Halloween came out. Don't you agree,
yep.
Devin?
Oh yeah.
He did not have to do another thing. Halloween is one of those frightening films. I got to see it on the silver screen, 100-foot wide, 78-foot tall silver screen, and it was absolutely terrible. And the scariest moment of Halloween was when Michael Myers is just walking by the house. He's like maybe 150 feet from the house where the girl and her boyfriend are, and you just know. You just know it's going to be horrible. That was right before that famous scene where the boy's body comes tumbling out of the closet. That was terrifying. That was just utterly terrifying. And if you'd been there and you'd never seen the film, I mean, I was squeezing on my girlfriend's hand. I was scared to death. Devin, is it okay that I was scared of the John Carpenter film?
Hey, it'd be more strange if you weren't scared, frankly, right? I mean.
Well, you know, when you look at there are two films, and Mark, please forgive me. I'm sorry, I'm digressing and I'm probably having the most fun I've ever had on a scary cast. But all I can say is that scene, the scene before the horrible scene where the kid falls out of the closet, and you just know it's going to be terrible. And then they cut to the boys watching that marathon of those black and white films. That you just know something bad's going to happen, number one. And then the only other thing that's as scary as that is the closing moments of The Shining. They are just,
oh yeah,
when they are running around in that monster paranormal party, and when the dude in the pig mask is being is having sex with the dude in the mustache, that is absolutely, that's the single most frightening moment I've ever seen in a film. It's just, it's great. And that's what horror is about, and that's what the paranormal is about, and that's why we're here. We're here on ScaryCast. Okay. All right, well, gentlemen, let me go ahead and finish this story, because we got to talk to Devin, we got to talk to Mark. But now, Mark, I'm sorry, you got me. You said you wanted to hear me talk. Well, you got to hear me talk. You got to hear me talk about wrestling, Roddy Piper, Lanny Poffo, all these great cats. Okay. All right, so sheriff deputies and members of the Tabor City Police Department and the Tabor City Rescue Squad combined forces where the monsters had made their home since Friday night. Now, just remember, this story came out in on Wednesday. And it seems just kind of weird that this thing started Thursday, then all of a sudden Friday it blows up. Now, you'll hear some of the interesting things that happened. Thursday night, a crowd of several hundred people gathered in the yards of the mobile home park, and comments of one rescue man who was there, he said, "I just didn't see a damn thing." Well, probably not, because I can tell you that when ABC Good Morning America showed up in Bishop, right outside of Bishopville, for the Lizard Man, they didn't see anything either. But that thing had gone absolutely viral. These folks were just maybe a little ahead of their time. Law enforcement officers generally agreed the situation was getting out of control and that things were getting dangerous. If people keep shooting into the woods at shadows than what they think are monsters, someone's going to get hurt and killed, the law officer said. And what I like about that is an absolute parallel to Liston, to Sheriff Liston, the sheriff in Lee County. He was more worried about the people than he was about the Lizard Man. And he was afraid of people shooting guns and trying to go all out and you know, maybe somebody get killed. He didn't want that to happen. He said, that would be the worst thing. I would be out of a job and I would be in jail if anything like that really happened and I hadn't taken absolute care to investigate these incidences. And I think the subsequent stories are going to show that the law officers probably felt the same way. I mean, I think from that statement, you know, someone may get hurt or killed. So now we're back to the thing. The yard of the mobile home was littered with shots and 22 caliber rifle shells. And the neighbors say that they are sleeping on the floor in fear of being hit by a stray bullet. Wow. Isn't that amazing? The neighbors are scared not of the aliens, but they're scared of being hit by a stray bullet. Now, Mr. and Mrs. Junior Henson, who operate a service station, said they have had their home about 2/10 of a mile on the other side of the monster's wooded lair, and report that a camper parked in their backyard had been riddled with bullets. So I can tell you, it's funny, people get all capture happy when they think there's a Bigfoot around or they think they're aliens. They want to get after guns and shoot them. I don't know why, but that's what people tend to like to do. So while most people, including law officers, are very skeptical of this experience of the space monsters, the Williamsons and other witnesses were strongly convinced of what they claim to have seen. That's why it is going to be very important to see if any of these other witnesses are still alive, and also secondary witnesses like the son of a lady that lived right near there. I want to see exactly what my new buddy Alan, last name protected, has to say about, you know, what his mother thought about this. That's very important. She was kind of a normal person around there. So there. Rose Williamson, the mom, called the local law enforcement agencies, area news media, the National Guard, the United States Army, Governor James Holzerhauser's office, Congressman Charlie Rose's office, and President Richard Nixon. All right, I want to ask your opinion. Either, number one, she was scared, or she was trying to get a lot of publicity, or both. All right, what do you think? She calls up everybody, the governor, the congressman, the president. All right, Devin first. Did she want publicity, real, or was it both or neither?
Well, I'm kind of proud of her that she even knew how to contact all those people. I think nowadays most people don't even know who their representatives are half the time. And, you know, obviously we have no way to just call the governor or the president. So, you know, it could have been a mix of both, you know. It could have been she was scared or just, you know, completely blown away by this, you know, event that happened and wanted to let other people know about it.
Okay, I agree with that. I like that answer. All right, Mark, what do you think?
I think if you actually saw something like this that is so out there that you would be motivated to contact different levels of government and things just because you're so enthusiastic about it that you would want to get it out there. But as well, it could be one of those things that just like she wants publicity for her own self. And, you know, I think there's a lot of cases of that in the paranormal world or extraterrestrial world where people try to make a profession out of like fantastical stories and whatnot. So who knows? I'm just reading over the story and I find it interesting that it seems like these monsters are very technologically advanced, but yet they're drinking out of the radiator and eating like, what is it, TV dinner that they left out. So I don't know. It seems like that kind of contradicts. If they're like highly advanced aliens, why would they be coming eating TV dinners that they're leaving out, you know?
Well, number one, I'll tell you that Lizard Man drank radiator fluid.
Okay.
Believe it or not, Lizard Man drank radiator fluid. It's in one of the accounts. Number two, I think there is a case. Well, okay, let me go ahead and be honest, and I don't want anyone to get mad at me, but I think a lady that lived in a trailer in Tabor City in 1973 might not have been looking for unwarranted publicity. She was probably scared to death, and she probably wanted people to come down there and help. And that, I just don't believe that somebody – that would be calling all those government agencies. That would be something a sophisticated person from 2015 would do. That is not something a likely unsophisticated person – from 1973 would do. I think she was terrified and she wanted all the help she could get. That's what I think. I think the year and the socioeconomic status of the lady tends to want me to believe that she just was scared and wanted help. And she just was going to call everybody. I'm going to call the president. She probably knew to call information. See, back then, you could call information, and you could get a phone number like the White House. I want the phone number for the White House. You could get that, but or you could get the phone number for the governor's office. You could call information. So, Devin, I guess what I would say to you is it was probably easier to get those numbers then than it is now. You got to go through White Pages and .com and YellowPages.com. It's just ridiculous. So I think it was easier back then to get numbers like that. I mean, I lived back then. Saying that I'm old, but I mean, I lived back then where you could call information and they would give you numbers like that. So I believe she was just scared. The more I think about it, she was in 1973. I think she was just scared.
That makes sense to me.
What makes this story a little bit more believable too is the fact that she saw two. Like you'd normally, like a lot of Bigfoot encounters, it's just they see like some ambiguous like creature or figure in the woods or whatever, and they can't make out details or things like that. But in this case, she was able to see two and actually pick out like similarity, like distinguishing factors between the two of them, like the same, they wore the same things, they were both the same height, right? So I think that adds credibility to the story. If it was real, if she did see something, if it isn't some type of fabrication. So I think there's more validity there based on that.
Well, there is, and I've got one other question. I'm keeping a list of questions down here at the bottom of this story. And one thing I'm going to do is I'm going to find out about the potential lighting in the trailer park.
Do you think you can actually track these people down, that are in the article? Like, maybe they're still alive. Maybe they're still around.
83, 93, 2003, 2000. So, I mean, they're 48. It's 48 years since this happened. Were 38 years, if they were 35, if say they were 30 years old, and had 50, so they'd be 80. All of the witnesses that were listed in the article are 80 years old. Chances are,
They could have kids though. They could have had kids, and they'd be alive. And maybe if it did happen to them, then maybe they told their kids the story, right? If it was something crazy.
That's true. It's like this lady who lived near there. This happens to be my buddy Alan's mother. He said, yeah, I remember what she told me. I said, think about it, but don't talk about it until I get you and I discuss it with you, because I'm going to try to do this right. You know, it's something I can do 50 years after the fact. We can't do it 80 years after the fact because, well, who knows where everybody is. They're probably dead. But there's a chance that if one of them is still alive, either they're going to say it's a hoax, or they're going to say, oh, my gosh, this was the most unbelievable thing that ever happened to me. So we're going to find out. I'm going to talk to them. Yes, and I'm telling everybody on ScaryCast, I'm going to find out about these people and see if I can get kind of a feeling as to whether or not it was real. When I talked to the editor of the newspaper, it's interesting. He said, well, you know, it was back in my day, but he'd been there only 41 years, and this happened 48 years ago. So this was before he was there. The previous editor was deceased. So, I mean, I'm going to run into a lot of – and plus, here's what I want to do with this thing. Number one, I want to get as many witnesses or as many – secondary witnesses I can get. I'm going to go to the police stations. I'm going to get the Tabor City report. I'm going to try to get the state police report and see what they all had. I'm going to take pictures of the location of the events. And there are at least two more stories in that month of the Tabor City Tribune. So I'm going to check those out. And I'm also going to go to Whiteville and see what else I can find, because I'm sure this is like Lizard Man. The Sumter item news stories are different than the stories from the Lee County Observer, where Lizard Man happened in Lee County. And so I'm very interested to get the stories from Whiteville, which is kind of the larger city. It's actually the largest city in the town. Newspaper's been around forever, you know, pretty much like the Tabor City Tribune. So I'm looking forward to getting those stories and seeing how everything matches. I mean, I don't know. Heck, this might end up being a full book, a full short book. Maybe not. But I think it's going to be interesting, you know, that we kind of came across a Lizard Man-style event where there were a number of witnesses, and we need to find out what happened. Time is our enemy. I need to get up there and try to find these folks. I need to try to find the police reports, which should be public record, and I should be able to get them. So we'll see what I can find, and I'll report back on ScaryCast probably in about a month, hopefully with my buddy Alan, and whose mother would be the closest thing we've got to a witness as of right now, but we'll probably find some more. So we'll just go from there, and hopefully the Men in Black won't be coming knocking at my door and saying, John, you need to come with us. And I'll say, no, I'm not, and I'll get my knife out and try to defend myself. That's what I'll do. But we'll see what happened. And so anyway, I'll say this. The police were magnificent, and they said this thing could get dangerous with people shooting out in the woods. And I think that's very important that they said that. I want to commend the Tabor City Police and the State Police that came over there, even though they may be passed away. I think they need to get an award from ScaryCast, along with Sheriff Liston Truesdale needs to get an award from ScaryCast for his concern for the community. And I will take a vote right now, because if three of us agree on this, we've got a majority. Devin, do you agree that we should give those police in Tabor City, the State Police in North Carolina, and Sheriff Liston Truesdale an award from ScaryCast for their concern for the community? Do you agree with that?
I definitely agree. It's kind of like the voice of reason, but yeah, if people are running around just shooting shadows in the woods, that's going to end badly. So,
all right, Mark, do you agree that we should give them an award, even though it may be a posthumous or an award after their death? Do you agree that we should give those folks an award?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you should interview them, because you never know, they might have had a lot more calls over the years that could have been similar things. There might be more stories there if you dig a little deeper with the police.
Right, but I mean, what I'm saying is, this is the first day. I was told about this story yesterday, buddy. We've got the lead newspaper. We've got the lead newspaper article from the hometown thing, from the hometown newspaper, and we're going to do some more ScaryCast. I'd like for this to be a ScaryCast investigation. Every one of us could take part in it, because I love it when my friends and my who are smart people like you guys and like Trey and like Robin are. I just love it when my friends can participate in this. I think it's very important. So I would love for this to be an investigation on ScaryCast. And in fact, if it becomes enough for a full book, well, ScaryCast will be the author, and I think that's wonderful. So anyway, we're going to keep on with this. You've now heard me talk about everything from wrestling to the paranormal to the Sydney monsters, and this has been the most. Today was the most fun I think I've had in years. So it was wonderful, and I got the permission from the Tabor City Tribune, which is now the Tabor Loris Tribune. I got permission from them to put this story as it is in the paper. And I'm going to do investigations, and I'll be talking with, of course, the general manager / editor of the paper. I'll also be talking with the senior reporter, and we're going to have a lot of fun doing this, because you know what? For me, ScaryCast is about having fun and investigating the paranormal. So I'm going to have a lot of fun with this, and I invite you two gentlemen, two of my very close friends, to join me as we have fun investigating this. Mark, you ready?
Let's do it.
All right, Devin, you ready to enjoy this and do our investigation together?
Definitely.
All right, good. Well, we've got a majority here, and I am sure that Trey and Robin will also agree, because it's a worthwhile and wonderful project. So I want to say thank you, and we're done with part one of ScaryCast. And I've got to say thank you very much to all of our listeners from WLSC AM and FM, Myrtle Beach, Loris, South Carolina, the greatest radio station. We love them. They carry us. Banana Jack Murphy is the general manager and owner. We love Banana Jack. He has been such a fan of ScaryCast over the years. And when he had a chance to visit with me after several years, he said, I want to put your podcast on my radio station. I said, you got it, buddy. So I wanted to say thanks to Banana Jack Murphy. I want to say thank you again to WLSC AM and FM, Loris and Myrtle Beach. All righty. Now, I've got two co-hosts, and we got half the show. I'm sorry, I took up an extra 10 minutes. Please forgive me. But I want to ask Mark. Mark's got some stories. And then, Devin, I would like for you to close with a story or two, because I think you've got some really interesting things for an upcoming, probably a 2023 conference we're going to do, the National UFO Conference, and you're going to be one of the keynote speakers, because you've got something, a story that very few people know about. But I'm going to ask Mark to go next and give us a UFO story, because tonight's theme is space aliens and UFOs. Mark, what have you got for us?
Okay, so I lived in this area in BC. It was in the Rocky Mountains, right on the Continental Divide. And in this area, I believe to be a hot spot for UFOs because so many times in the night, I spent outdoors, and it's clear sky. You could see the arms of the Milky Way galaxy. It was that clear. You know, you can see the stars and the planets like nothing, right? If you spent a night out there, I guarantee you would see something that just wouldn't be right. Like, a lot of times it's just a glowing ball that might cruise across the sky and make, like, a U-turn, or you see, like, a cluster of them together that change colors, change illumination. It happens all the time. And even my buddies who worked outdoors a night on this golf course, he would say the exact same thing. So very often I would see things in the sky, but there was this one time in particular, which was
Mark,
yeah.
I'm going to stop you. Please tell us again exactly where this was.
Okay, so it's this area called Radium Hot Springs. It's in British Columbia, Canada, on the eastern side of British Columbia, right on the Rocky Mountains.
Okay.
3 hours east of Calgary.
Okay, just wanted to make sure everybody knew you need to go. Was it Radium Springs?
Radium Hot Springs.
Radium Hot Springs, that's where you need to go to see some UFOs. I can tell you where to go see, but I'll take you where to go see Bigfoot. I can't tell you, but I'll take you. I'm going to put a mask on you. I'll drive you 6 hours from Myrtle Beach, and I'll take you where to see. And Devin, if you and Mark come, since you're privileged because you're members of the Scary Cast team, I'll let you see where we're going. But absolutely, if anyone wants to come, you're going to have to get, you know, people put a mask on for COVID. You're going to have to put on a mask for where we're going, and we're going to go see some Bigfoot, but can't tell you who they are. Okay, sounds so crazy. All right, so Radium Hot Springs in British Columbia, Canada. You go out there, and you sit there on a lawn chair.
I don't know why this is such a hot spot, though, but it could be the fact that there's a lot of mineral deposits in the area. It could be a geological thing, that's what I'm guessing, or who knows, maybe there's an underground alien base in the Rocky Mountains. It is the Continental Divide, so it's where all the rivers either run one way or the other way, and it's kind of directly up north from, like, places like in the States where there's also, like, a lot of hot spots. Like, if you think of, like, even New Mexico, it's like if you follow the continent up from New Mexico, it's we're directly above. So I don't know why, what's the reason, but it seems like there's a lot there. But anyway, there's this one night in particular where the northern lights were out in full display. Like, on one part of the sky, like half the sky was just being taken up, like just fully illuminated northern lights, right? And I don't know if you guys have ever witnessed northern lights. Sometimes it's just like a whisper of light, like little dancing of light in the air. But other times it's just full-blown, like, illuminating the sky. And this is one of those times. So me and my friends, we went to, like, one of the highest locations in town, like a hill that would perfectly overlook the northern lights. And I was kind of a hippie at the time. This was about 15, 20 years ago. We're all, like, hanging out in this, like, hippie van with, like, you know, northern lights, so cool, right? And watching it. And all of a sudden, this cluster appeared over the silhouette of the mountains, right, because it's nighttime. And this cluster that looked like, the best way I could describe it was football shapes, six of them, a cluster of six that were all uniform shaped, like little footballs, like looking at it from a side profile, right? And we're like, what the hell is that? All of a sudden, they all started kind of jumping around. Like, we would see the cluster, and then, like, three would disappear, and then they would reappear, like, you know, a little bit off to the sky over here. Fully illuminated, the sky is, so what we're looking at is, like, silhouettes, because they're pitch black, you know, saucer, like what you would imagine looking at a side profile of a stereotypical flying saucer would look like. Anyway, they started darting around six, they appear, reappear type thing, clusters, always uniform shaped. They're always in the circular. And then they started moving directly above us. At which point, my buddy brings out a didgeridoo. You know those, like, native Australian instruments, or like, wah, 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 this type of thing. And we're just like doing the didgeridoo full blast directly at these things, and the cluster came above us, right? And we're like, wow. Now, there was five of us. Three of us were looking at this like, okay, so this is unreal, right? The other two, people can be in such hard denial that it could be like directly in front of their eyes and they still won't see it. The two didn't want to see it, and they're just like, oh, this is crazy, right? You guys are crazy, right? But three of us, who I'm still friends with to this day, we all saw it. This is a time before, you know, cell phones were like, they had the really crappy cameras, and I didn't even have a cell phone up until like 5 years ago. But I wish we could have had it on video, because it would have been a good thing to record, but we didn't. And but anyway, they were directly above us. We were playing this didgeridoo at it, which is like frequency vibration. I think that, I don't know if it attracted or not, but at this point they were directly above us. You can tell how high it was, because we're just seeing silhouettes. Like, but it looked like they would probably be around like 100 feet to 200 feet. Not far above us. If there was like a craft that was 50 to 100 feet diameter, it would be
Mark, I want to say this. I would have been so uncomfortable if they had been 150 feet above me. I would have been terrified.
Yeah. It's hard to tell, you know, distance when it's just like a black object, right? Because you have no cues, right? But it's like it was just a silhouette because the sky is illuminated. It was night, and all I see were these black shapes. But by their footballs, when you looked at them at the side, shaped, but directly above us, they were perfectly round. So we could tell the shape just off basic kind of deduction, like what we were looking at, and it was just stereotypical saucer shape, which was interesting. But at that time, they continued on into the part of the sky that was not illuminated anymore, at which point we didn't see it. Now, the interesting thing is where they started from, there are these holes that go deep in the ground that they never even found where the actual bottom of these holes are. They're like huge sinkhole things, right, in the mountains where this originated. And I'm wondering if they came out of the ground out of these sinkholes that are just perfectly round. They're called Twin Lakes. The water there, even in a hot, blazing hot summer day, is freezing cold. The depths of these things go way, way down. And apparently there's these underwater lakes under the Continental Divide that are huge. So I'm wondering if there's some type of underground base down there, or like they're attracted to this water supply, or maybe that's an area where they can travel around the continent underground, these underground lake passageways on the Continental Divide. I don't know. That's me speculating, but all I know is where they appear.
So anyway, you're saying that there are these perfectly round openings into the earth, and they are filled with freezing cold water.
Yep. And they cannot find the bottom, the depth of them. They go on, they just go forever, like they've tried in the past, like, and they've never been able to find the bottom of them. They just, there's bottomless pits into the water.
So they've used laser technologies to shoot something down and see how long it takes for it to come back up?
Or they just dropped something down there, or they tried to explore down there. But I think it just leads to more openings and, you know, vast underwater cave system type things. That's what I'm thinking.
Well, I'll tell you what, I don't know that I want to go down there.
Yeah. We go cliff jumping there. We did it all the time this summer. So it was kind of an interesting spot. But anyway, that's where they appeared from, like directly from the same valley where those lakes are, was when they appeared, and then they came over us. So I'm wondering, did they come out of those holes or not? Who knows? But anyway, there's a lot of activity in this area and a lot of strange lights in the sky that a lot of my friends have seen as well. And, oh, yeah, one more thing about this story. So I called a UFO researcher in Canada, and apparently on the same night, a few valleys away, there was also a reporting as well. And I could dig up this article for you, John. It's going back like 20 years almost. But so apparently people saw things as well, like I would say about 3 hours west of us, which would make sense. But that was the direction that they would have been heading exactly. They were heading west. So maybe they saw the same thing as us.
Wow, that's pretty cool, Mark. That is really cool. I mean, that's an interesting story. You've got the location. You know what you've seen. You've got the strangeness of the very. How cold is that water? Is it like in the 40s or 30s?
Hard to say, especially because you use different. You use Fahrenheit. We use Celsius. But if you jump in a hot summer day, you're freezing. It's freezing cold. It takes the breath out of you. That's how cold it is, right?
Ooh. Like, so you've done that?
Oh, yeah. We jumped in. There's, I think a lot of people have actually passed away cliff jumping in this water, and then they just disappear. So they're down there too, which is kind of sketchy. But there's like some dead bodies way down, deep down there. But Yeah, there's some people who've died jumping in cliff jumping, and I think a lot of the reason for that is because they jump in and the breath gets taken away because it's freezing cold water, and they get shocked and then they lose their breath. But anyway, that's a whole other thing, but it's kind of freaky. Anyway, yeah, that's that. They're called Twin Lakes. You can check those out if you want online too.
So all I have to say is that sounds really scary. Yeah, they probably went into shock. I mean, because when you jump in or that cold, you'll go into shock and pass out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So anyway, sounds like a place I'd like to visit from either inside a small craft that would stay warm or whatever. I wouldn't. That's just pretty scary. I'd love to go down there though in a small craft and see what is really down there. How big around are these lakes?
I would say it is about 50 yards across and like half a football field maybe across, not even. And they're perfect. They're almost perfectly round. The one especially is, yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, remind me of the Twin Lakes. We'll take a look at them. All right, Devin, okay. Do you have something you'd like to share with us?
Oh, sure. Did you want me to talk a little bit? First, I wanted to comment on Mark's story.
Sure.
Yeah, I think when you mentioned the minerals, you know, the possible connection between minerals and alien activity, I think there's something to that. I think, you know, we know that there's elements that have been found on Earth that are not of earthly origin. They're, you know, from somewhere in outer space, whether they came here through, you know, a comet or an asteroid or some other way that traveled, or if it could be something else that had been brought here by, you know, life on other planets. So I think there's definitely a connection between that. And, you know, there could be people coming here from other planets to obtain minerals or elements that we have here that they don't.
Interesting. Yeah, well, about that, Devin, like I told you, the place I was living is Radium Hot Springs. Well, you know what radium is? It's a radioactive mineral that's it's all deposited all throughout the valley in this particular area. The other thing, at the moment, there's a huge gypsum mine. I don't know if gypsum would be something aliens would be interested in, but there's a lot of that deposited there. And historically, it's a copper mining was huge there. And remember, John, the story about my Bigfoot experience where we went and explored this one cave? Well, that was an old copper cave. So I don't know, maybe, you know, copper is a pretty mineral that's used in a lot of things. I would imagine, you know, maybe ETs use that as well. So, yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
We do not know, but we'll keep looking. Yes, sir, Devin.
Yeah. Well, so in my story, this is from Russell, Kansas, which is pretty much kind of in the middle of Kansas. It's where I grew up around. I was actually born there, and then I lived on a farm about 17 miles north of there. So this was in 1988 when I was about 11 years old. So it was definitely stuff that we heard in the news and stuff that we talked about at school. But there was this woman who I mentioned before. Her name is Donna R. Butts, like literally B-U-T-T-S is her last name. but I believe the R stands for Ruth, because in the book she's referred to as Ruth. So she's talking about in March 1988, she had been visited by what she calls ETs. She also refers to them just as them a lot. But she also states that they're like biblical, they're biblical in nature. They're basically messengers of God, these ETs that visit her. And so this night in March 1988, that she said that they really put on a show with several different spaceships, several different sizes flying over her farm. One of the smaller ships landed on her farm and four people came out of it. So two of them, there was a young brunette female, she called herself Diane, and then there was an old man that called himself Hermes, and then there was another couple that was older, but they seemed to be human. So she believed those were human, whereas Diane and Hermes were not of this earth. So they talked with with Ruth for several hours and discussed many things, and saying that they are not connected with the good or the evil angel. So these are now a third party, basically, because she's already in her book, she's mentioned the good angels and the bad angels, and these are more neutral, that are just there to help against the dark side. So they're more good than bad. So these are the beings that she had several visits with, and they gave her information, but people got frustrated because it wasn't, you know, as with anything extraterrestrial, it wasn't like cut and dry where they would like give her a piece of paper that said, you know, their prophecies or what they wanted her to know. It was more like they would send her images in her brain. And so she might see like a blue, you know, a blue diamond, and then she might see like a tiger, you know, and she has to like figure out what these things mean that they're trying to tell her. Right.
Okay.
So she also had, she got these messages from them, and she was, you know, trying to like spread the word and, you know, what was going to happen, where she basically said some sort of a rapture was going to take place in the late 80s. You know, basically where these extraterrestrial beings would descend on Earth. And so she's saying that they told her that specifically Russell, Kansas, which is, you know, where I'm from, would be the location. And it would be broadcast from Russell and spread around the world. The mystery of God would be fulfilled. Everything would be announced. And then also she had a premonition or a message that she says the last and the greatest president would come from Russell, Kansas. So I think what she was thinking is Bob Dole, because Bob Dole was, you know, from Russell, Kansas, and he did eventually run for president. Now, he never became president, and now he recently, just recently passed away. But, you know, who knows what they were really trying to tell her, because, like I said, she didn't just get these messages in regular English words. You know, she had to kind of decipher what they were telling her. So maybe there still might be a president.
Devin, I have to interrupt you. Is it possible that you will be running for president?
You know what? I say never rule anything out, but I definitely have not made any progress towards that, if that was what I wanted to do.
Well, I'll tell you this. As one of my most trusted and best friends, if you want to run for president, I will be your assistant campaign manager, okay?
Thank you. That's a very generous offer.
I would do it in a heartbeat. I would believe in you, and I think it'd be great. Or maybe we're supposed to have this conversation on Scarycast, and then you're supposed to start thinking about running for president. What do you think?
Oh, well, let's brainstorm some ideas around that first before we take it too far.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. Because we only have two of you on tonight, you're both going to get the call around. Devin, I'm going to do your call around first, and I want to find out more about you running for president. I think you'd be a great president.
Oh, thank you.
Okay. Anyway, so she may not be wrong. She really might not be wrong. I mean, who knows? You're
right.
From Russell, Kansas, too. So.
Right.
You better be careful about these. Yeah, I'll say this. You better be careful about these prophecies, because they might come true. Saint Malachi. Look, we're all kind of on bated breath about Saint Malachi's prophecies about the last pope.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. So we'll have to see, because I think I'm guessing the last pope is coming up. It's going to be Peter the, and I can't remember which number, but I think it's supposed to be Peter. And we'll see. We don't know, but yeah, just be careful about these prophecies, buddy. They may be coming true. And I'll turn it back over to you.
Well, the last part of it, I just wanted to tell you guys for a little part of the tale is, so she did have, in December 1986, they came and gave her some information, and she actually wrote it down, you know, so she'd have it written out so that she could remember it later. And so one of the things that they talked about that was going to happen in Russell, Kansas, was that the seventh angel would come with the seventh trumpet, and he would sound from Russell. And then just a couple, let's see, then in August of 1988, so about 2 years later, there was a sculpture, a metal sculpture placed in the Lincoln Memorial Park in Russell, and it was this, it was a trumpet, like an angel playing a trumpet, and it looked so much like what, you know, she had imagined or had seen from when these ETs were telling her about that, that she just thought it couldn't be a coincidence, right? Like, it was too weird, too strange. You know, it's a pretty small town anyway, so to have this angel playing a trumpet placed in the park there, she didn't know who had done it, and she kind of just didn't want to look into it. Maybe she was afraid, but eventually the person who made it contacted her, and they ended up kind of forming this kind of little, like, almost a church of people that had these experiences with the extraterrestrials and believed in what was going to happen there with, you know, everything coming to Russell, Kansas. So that was kind of, I remember there was kids in the school, which there was a school across the street from that park, and they started going into hysterics because they would say that the sculpture moved. So from time to time when they would look at it, it would be in a different pose than it had been in before. So I think that's when I really started to hear about this story. That's when it really got in the news. We had to go look and see the sculpture. You know, everybody wanted to see this. And so, yeah, there's more to the story, but I think I'm going to leave it at there for now.
Okay, I've got a couple questions. First of all, are there any pictures of the sculpture having moved?
I've only seen one picture online of the sculpture. So it doesn't, obviously, you can't compare it to anything else. I never saw it move myself, but that's what the students at the school across the street would say.
How long ago did they see this sculpture move, and is it still there today?
So this was in 1988, and I don't think it's there anymore, but I'm not sure. I'm going to have to figure that out.
Because that would be 35 years ago. And
yeah.
And Devin, to be honest with you, I would meet you in Russell, Kansas this summer to go see that. If it's still there, you and I, on behalf of ScaryCast, need to go check this out.
Yeah.
This could be, I mean, and I would assume, now, is Donna Butts still alive?
You know, I think she is, but it says from what I've read, she left Kansas and she moved to Alabama, and I think she changed her name or started going by a different name, so she might be difficult to track down.
Maybe not. It is so funny that you mention Alabama. One of my closest friends has just written a paranormal book with me. And he is from Cullman, Alabama. And his family is one of the families, they know everybody. And you know what? We might be able to find her. Isn't that amazing?
That would be awesome.
You picked the one state where I actually have a co-author of a book, of a paranormal book, and we might be able to find Donna Butts. He might, it would be interesting. I think he might be able to help us, and I'll bet you he would do it. I talk with him every day because we've got, our first book is coming out in 2 weeks. I'll announce that in a couple of weeks. And then absolutely. We'll see if we can find Donna Butts, because I'm sure she had some relatives there, correct? In Kansas?
Oh, yes. Yes. In fact, her sister was very involved in the whole thing, too. And so her sister may still live there.
And the deal is, I would approach it as, you know, we're really nice people, and we're just trying to figure out the truth. And we can keep her name and everything about her under wraps. But we want to find out more about her experience. Devin, I think this would be, again, this would be an incredible ScaryCast investigation, don't you?
I do, yeah.
And I'll tell you what, if we can find her, I'll meet you Wouldn't it be funny if we met you, if we got to meet in Cullman, Alabama? Wouldn't that be funny? That out of all the places in the world, out of all the places in the world, my business partner and close friend that I am writing a book with, and she, and that this seems like kind of a place she might go because it's just a nice, calm little town. So I'll talk to him tomorrow and see what we can do. Fair enough?
Sounds good.
All right. Well, now we've got 10 minutes left. This has been, I'm sorry, this has been the most fun I've ever had on a podcast. So what I want to do is I want Mark to do a recap for about 2 or 3 minutes, and I want Devin to do a recap for 2 or 3 minutes because Lord knows I've talked enough. But it's been great. And so, Devin, Mark, you're the guy that's going first. What do you have in 5 minutes to recap?
Well, one thing kind of struck me about today's podcast is both, like, what Devin just told you that you're now researching, and your other friend told you it was through word of mouth, and the power of word of mouth in this, you know, new age where we have technology to figure things out and do as much research as we want. But when it comes to paranormal, when you just get on the ground and you talk to some people, whether it's in Bigfoot, you're in Bigfoot country, and you talk to a guy at a corner store or something, or I believe the power of word of mouth is still there, and especially with these kind of cryptid experiences and getting research and networking, it's amazing what you can find, like what you found with this research you're doing on this new story, and what you're talking with Devin that you're going to look into more. You know, I think that's really cool, and I think there's a lot of potential
there. These two new research areas that we're going to be calling ScaryCast Research, and I mean, I think what we're doing is going to be great. I'm sorry, I just had to say that because I'm just so thrilled that Devin has come up with this. It's going to be wonderful. So please continue. Yeah. Please forgive me.
And I think it's amazing too. Like, you know, we've had conversations about, you know, psychic experiences and mind speak and synchronicity and that. And I honestly believe that, you know, people come together for a reason. You know, I believe that, you know, you meet people in your life for a reason that takes you to like higher states of being, and there's some greater thing going on here. And I think that can be attached as well to like research in general, and where the right information just has a mind of its own and comes together. So the more you dig, the more, and I believe that's how I met you, John, you know, when it was just like through a network online, like we were on Facebook or whatever, and we just struck up a conversation, and oh, I had a Bigfoot experience, and boom, you're on my podcast. And now 3.5 years later, you know, this is amazing, right? So I think, and you have been really integral in my development and research, and I've learned a lot through just being a part of this and listening to your guests and everything, and I think it's amazing. So I believe, you know, like, just keep at it, keep talking to people, and, you know, I think it'll bring information together that maybe you won't even expect. You know, you start the first steps on a journey, you know, in research, and then it leads to something else you never expected, right? That's how kind of that's how life works sometimes, right? And I think it's really amazing, especially in this topic of supernatural things, that what gets uncovered if you just dig a little deeper.
That is true, and thank you for the kind words. I'll tell you what, Mark, you have been a wonderful friend. You've done a lot with us. You're in charge of our YouTube channel, and you and I have got a lot more to go on and a lot more to do in the paranormal. We're going to enjoy it. We're going to have a great time. And thank you very much for those words, and thank you for being here as an official co-host of ScaryCast. And now, you are our newest one, and now our longest running, and a guy that I consider such a wonderful friend who's brought up some things tonight that have just changed my life. Devin, as usual, you change my life when we get you to talk now. So tell us, what have you got to... Because you're going to be closing the show other than me saying good night and thanks for being with us. So what have you got to say for tonight?
Thanks. Well, first I found that the sculpture of the angel trumpeter is still there. It's called Angel in the Park. I sent you a text with a picture of it. But what I think is the magic, the magic of ScaryCast, I think, is we bring up these stories that, you know, at the time that they happened, you know, just because of the way the world was, people might have only heard about it in that town or maybe the surrounding area, maybe statewide, but, you know, a lot of things didn't travel, you know, as fast back then because we didn't have, you know, phones and internet and social media. So I think it's great to be able to bring these stories that, you know, initially maybe only got told or heard by, you know, 50 or 100 people, maybe 1,000 people. But now that we bring them back and let people from all over the globe really hear them, you know, we can kind of go back and revisit them, and maybe somebody sees or hears or reads something that nobody else caught on to before, and there's a new perspective. And so it brings the story into a new era.
It really does, and that's what I like about this 1973 story. This is coming out. We're linking it to an event in 1988, which is the Lizard Man, and we're bringing it up to 2022 and 2023. And I think these are important things. And so thank you very much for being a part of the ScaryCast podcast, the ScaryCast network, and this research that we're going to be doing. We're going to find Donna Butts. If she is alive, or we'll find her sister, we will find somebody, and we will get some clarification, and we will find great things here at ScaryCast. So I'll say thanks to everybody. I hope you enjoyed the podcast. I'm Dr. John Stamey, and I had more fun tonight than I think I've ever had on a podcast with my two friends, Devin Tate and Mark Johnston from Canada, and Devin Tate from Our Man from Hollywood. And so, look, thanks a lot. We'll see you next week, the one, the only. There could never be another ScaryCast. Take care, folks, and have a great one.
Good night, guys.
Good night.